We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit baptism, and what I want to do is I want to read where the Holy Spirit came in the Acts chapter 2, 1 through 21, and then we'll get involved here. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God." And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking, saying, "They're all filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, which is 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Pray with me just for a moment. Father God, we want to thank you that you set aside time in history to pour out the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. We want to thank you, Lord, that today there would come a renewed and refreshed work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in this place. We look to you for the infilling and the overflow of all that you have for us. And we thank you for the multitude of ways that you cause life to happen in and through us. I pray, Father, for faith levels to rise. I pray, Father, for the gifts of the Spirit to increase. I pray, Father, for the healing graces of Jesus to abound here. I pray for the prospering work of the Holy Spirit to hover in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's jump on to point number one, the reality of the Holy Spirit baptism. Jesus told his disciples that he wanted them to wait. And he said, "I want you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And I mentioned just a little bit earlier during the worship time, here's Jesus. He's been crucified, and he's resurrected. And many today think that's enough, but that's not enough, because he wants us to have the exact same power that he had when he walked. Because Jesus came, now get this, guys, he came and he set aside everything that had to do with his privileges of being God, and he became a man and was empowered by the Holy Spirit, modeling for us what it's like to be a man or woman surrendered to God's Spirit and his control. How many of you need to at least give over the reins of control pretty regularly? Isn't it funny how we give God, "Lord, I surrender to you," and then tomorrow is like, "What did I just took it all back?" And in worship, you start to give the reins back to God and walk out the door. So it takes some time to learn how to yield to his help and aid in our life. I'm weak in that area just like everybody else. But I do know this, here's a little point of wisdom. You can always do the next thing that Jesus is leading you to do to stay on track and on fire. Praise the Lord. So why is Jesus telling them Because he says, I want you to have everything that I had. In John chapter 16, verse 7, it says, nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Go ahead and tell somebody, this is to your advantage. You see, it says, Jesus says, to your advantage that I go away. Why? Because he was just one person in one place at one time. But if he would leave, he says, now the Holy Spirit can come. If I go away, for if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit or the Helper will not come. So he says, I got to get out of here so that he can cover the world. He can be in every single person's life from now on. And then there's a few things he says of what he'll help us to do. And he'll help when he comes. He'll convict the world. He'll guide us into all truth. He'll declare the things to come. He will glorify Jesus. He helps us. When we're in worship, when I'm doing the things I'm doing, I'm always dependent on the Holy Spirit to help me in life. I'll never forget this. One time I was out, it's just in practical things too. I was standing there. We were coming back. I think I've shared the story, but we were coming back from a long trip, and I pulled into a gas station, and I felt quickened by the Holy Spirit to pray in the Spirit. So I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm standing there praying in the Spirit. Like the Lord wants me to be close to Him. So I'm just praying and feeling the love of the Lord. And then suddenly he says, check the oil. I opened the hood, checked the oil. I actually needed 5 quarts. I don't know what happened, but my car was going to go. The engine would have blown up had I not put 5 quarts of oil. Five. I don't know where they all went. That had never happened before. I think the devil was sipping it or something. I don't know what. But in practical things and spiritual things, when you have your prayer language, you can walk with the Lord and enjoy relationship with Him. He also declares, John 3:34 says, I love this verse, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. There are certain people at certain times that have these wonderful works of God. I think Smith Wigglesworth was one of those people in life that had these empowering moments where the Holy Spirit would come on. It would be like without measure. There would be these moments. But Jesus walked in it all the time. Also, Matthew 3:16 says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. So Jesus wanted us to have what he had. The Holy Spirit came upon him. It says the Holy Spirit came descending like a dove. He says, now it's going to be a little different. He's going to descend upon you like fire. Somebody go ahead and elbow the person next to you and say, I desire all that God has for me. I desire all that God has for me. And of course, in Jesus' ministry, he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the liberty to the captives, recovering of the sight of the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He has come. This is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what I've discovered. Before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't have the ability to do this. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit and also dealing with my own issues, you know, working through the things that God has us to deal with, you become a vessel of honor. The Bible says in a great house there are many vessels, some for honor, some for dishonor. If you deal with if you cleanse yourself from what's dishonorable, it says you'll be made a vessel, made useful for the master. And so this is the path that the Lord always has us on. I said it last week, I'll say it this time. The Lord is always thinking in terms of the better version of you just down the road. And there's something of a work because of these days that the adversary wants us to get off track and not think about the good things that God has for us. When we're singing that song a little while ago about he sees us through the seasons, I think it's a word of wisdom for us to acknowledge when you're going through a difficult season, it comes to an end. It's a season. It's not here to stay. I get that little verse in the Bible. And it came to pass. And so no matter what you're going through right now, just realize that the Holy Spirit is here in your life to help you walk through something that's going to cause you to be better at the other side, equipped and more empowered. I want to jump into, this is just a little foundation laying here today. Another time the Holy Spirit baptism occurs is with the Gentiles. And Pete, I don't have a passage to put up there right now, but Peter, after he had that whole encounter on the roof, and the sheet came down, and he said, Peter, rise and kill and eat. He says, I can't, this is unclean. And he's finally, after three times, you know, Peter says, because he says, surely not, Lord. You know, how many of you, the Lord tell you something that's way out of your comfort zone, and you're going, I can't do that. And he's bewildered by it. And then the guys knock on the door, and he goes down to, he heads over to Cornelius' house. I think it's about a little over 30 miles. He goes to Cornelius' house. And he begins to, he learns that the Lord is saying, don't call unclean what I've said is clean. In other words, the gospel is going to go to the Gentiles. And he goes in to a person who he has been trained his entire life that this person is unclean. And you and I end up having prejudices. You and I end up with barriers that we've put in our life. And the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit will give us the understanding that Jesus has died for everybody and that His love knows no limits, and He wants us to be a manifestation and expression of His love for every person. Let's just praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Peter opens his mouth, he steps in the door, and he says these words, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. As for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. And we are witnesses of all that He did, both in the country with the Jews and Jerusalem, how they put Him to death by hanging Him on the tree, but God raised Him on the third day and made Him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. And while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then they stayed there for a few days. He went out and says, let's go ahead and dunk them. They already got the whole fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then we have Peter, 20 years later, Paul shows up in Athens. It says, and as it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. There's some guys. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You realize that, see, Paul, when he was knocked off the, you know, Jesus confronted him for persecuting the church, and he was blinded, and Ananias went down. Most theologians believe that that's when Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit, because he was repenting, and Paul later says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. So there's this work of the Holy Spirit that's happened in Paul's life, and Paul relies on the Holy Spirit. You know how much the Holy Spirit worked in Paul. He even got to a place later on in Ephesus when he would wipe the sweat off of his brow on a handkerchief, and they would take that handkerchief to people who were demonized, and the demons would leave them when they touched the handkerchief. Now that's some glory. That's some anointing on that sweat. Here's a guy so given over to the Holy Spirit working in his life that even his sweat is anointed. Don't you want just a little bit of that? It comes with some cost, I'll have to mention. It's sort of like you when you're involved in something, it's not about your comfort zone. How many of your comfort zone is Americanized Christian religion stuff? But Jesus says, come out here with me and trust me beyond what you think you can do. I've had different things going on in my life, and recently, how the hell will just come. How many of you feel every now and again you feel like you don't have what it takes? And the Lord will whisper to me when I feel that way, and He'll just say, stand and put your confidence in me, and I will do it. How many of you need to say that right just before the Lord? I just want to just submit our hearts afresh to the Lord. Lord, I pray right now a confidence come and flood every heart because you're with each person. And the strategy of hell to make us feel less than, we just confront that right now because we're your cherished kids. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's power. Hallelujah. So let's go right back to this text. It says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Look at this. I love this passage. He says, they said, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. How many of you grew up in that church? You grew up in a place where the third person of the Godhead is not even mentioned. That's just, it's like maybe some kind of a club, but it's not really where the impartation that God has for you through the life of the Holy Spirit, it's not even mentioned. And you're left to struggle and work it out on your own. I remember meeting a guy who said he'd been, before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he had gone all of his life, he said he felt like he was hanging on the end of some tractor and waiting for the tractor to run off the field and hit a tree. That's how he felt like I'm enduring till the end. He felt like life was dragging him around until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now he stands up and says, now I can partner with God. And these guys said, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then he said, well, he says, Paul says, well, into what have you been baptized? And he said, well, into John's baptism. John the Baptist, they weren't even saved in the name of Jesus yet. He realized there were disciples that really weren't even saved in Christ yet. So he said, Paul said, well, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling us to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then he says, and then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And there were about 12 of them in all. So here you have, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, as truth is established. There's other passages, but there's at least three of them that give us the reality of the Holy Spirit baptism in the Word of God. The reality of it. I want to say, by the way, part of the reason I'm saying this is because I want there to be the Word of God to undergird the thought processes of your life, because if we just have a practice without the theological undergirding, you'll lose it. You'll veer away from it. But if you know this is the heartbeat of Father God, and this is what's so important to Jesus, that you'll go after the things Jesus wants you to have. And when you go after the things Jesus wants you, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit about 43 years. And I've prayed in tongues, gone through language after language after language. In all kinds of situations that I'm in, I pray in the Spirit to hear God's voice. I develop a sensitivity on the inside to hear God's voice. We'll get into the benefits here in a second. Let's do that right now. The benefits of the Holy Spirit baptism. The benefits of the Holy Spirit. This is number two. I want to put this statement up here I wrote. I got a bit of this from Jack Haver years ago. The Holy Spirit is the great psychiatrist who will help you redefine who you are in the light of His unconditional love. Many of us, we weren't formed correctly. There are many thought processes and reactions and things in our emotions that are off. We didn't come up in the healthiest loving environments. But so when you come from that original family and God moves you into the family of God, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, He begins to cultivate a deep inner river by which you sense and know the unconditional love of God. And the foundation of this begins to cause you to have an assurance in your life. Is it contested? Yeah, hell doesn't like anything Jesus gives. How many of you, when you got saved, the devil said, you're not saved? You get a healing, it says, you're not healed, and your symptom comes back. You go, what happened? You have to stand in faith, right? You start to pray in tongues, and the devil says, you're making that up. And he said, does that to every single person. You're making that up. You go, I'm making it up. So you quench it. It's amazing. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. This is a benefit. How many of you remember the bat phone? The red phone that Commissioner Gordon would call Batman or something. This is a direct line. The devil can't interpret it. It goes straight to the heart of the Father. When you're praying in the Spirit, you don't know how to pray and you start praying in tongues and you're praying right on. And so many times it says, he who prays in an unknown tongue speaks mystery, utters mysteries to himself. I'm in so many situations, you're in so many situations, you need help in both spiritual matters, emotional matters, relational matters, financial matters, practical matters of all kinds. You pray in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit will whisper you what to do next. He will instruct you and help you if you cultivate. And here today, I'm going to invite you to have a fresh dose, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. By the way, anytime we talk about a certain dynamic like this, this is what happens in the room. I just want to tell you this. I want you to see this. This is what happens. Look at my face. Now, when your face starts going like that, there's two spirits that are coming after you, a religious spirit or a spirit of slumber. And you say, I've watched it over and over, if somebody starts to, or you're just flat out tired and you had a big long day, if it's not a spiritual thing, it's just a fatigue thing. But when it comes to things of the Holy Spirit, hell always comes up and goes, aren't you tired now? Always to try to steal and take away what the Holy Spirit would give you. Is that true or what? Or you just go, well, I just think of something else now. And hell will come and try to distract and give you something else. Because I want to invite, I felt somebody had a word before with our worship team that said that the Lord is showing up today and there's angels that have something in their wings and they're going to release it. And I said, we want to invite all that the Lord has for us. And it's usually when you're run down and you're on the verge of giving up and you've received a bad report and you don't know what to do, and it's on those times when God says, I'm here to come through for you. I'm here to come through for you. How many of you have discovered you need to stir up the gift that's within you? It's an alienist thing because God has not given you a spirit of fear or something to intimidate or push you back. God doesn't say, I want to quench your fire. God says, I want you to stir up the flame that's inside of you. Praise you, Jesus. So, let's look at the next verse. Jude. Hey, Jude. 20:21. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. I'm getting ready to close. But you, building yourselves up in the holy in your most holy faith. How? What'd you say? I didn't hear you. What'd you say? Are you going to do that today? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Then I love the next verse. I always add the next verse because look what it does for you. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to tell you, when you pray in the Spirit of God, the love of God, the door to the love of God opens up in your inner being. And there's something about the love and the assurance that floods inside. I just take authority over the work of the devil against this work of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over every heart and every mind, and I take authority over it, and I break its power, and I ask, Lord, that nobody here not receive everything that you have for them in the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Genesis 1:1-3, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And what's this? This is called the law of first mention. This is the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible. And what's he doing? He's hovering over the face of the waters. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word for without form and void is two rhyming words. Tohu and bohu. Isn't that something? Tohu and bohu, which have similar meanings, wasteness and emptiness. The earth was tohu and bohu, wasteness and emptiness. The meaning is that the earth had no clearly discernible features at this point in creation, but essentially was a mass of raw materials. Is this a word picture for us? It doesn't matter if you just feel completely wasted, like you got nothing together. You're just a mass of raw materials. You're not formed yet. You don't know where you're going, and you might even feel empty. Isn't that how God finds us anyway? He finds us just like in this tohu and fohu. He finds us all just broken down, and the Holy Spirit comes hovering over you to set things in order. If you have your prayer language, just go ahead and under your breath there, just pray in the Spirit just a minute. Just pray in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes hovering, and He takes what's undefined and begins. If you have an area in your life that you need definition for the future right now, and it doesn't have definition, the Lord says, you pray, and you pray in the Spirit into that thing, and let me begin to form this world where you're walking. God's going to speak light into it. He's going to cause you to see what you need to see. The Lord quickened this to me because He said, this is what I'm doing by my Spirit. When I baptize somebody in the Holy Spirit, I begin to take the raw material of their life and I begin to fashion and form the strategic reasons that I made them and to come to fulfill what they're supposed to be about. Praise you. Listen, praise the Lord with me. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In addition to this, the Holy Spirit will equip you with valuable skills, this next slide, to bring God glory in your life. Well, I want to go ahead and tell you this right quick. This is amazing. It's probably about the seventh time in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is used, spoken of. It says in Exodus 31, it says, Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, and to work in every craft. The Holy Spirit is the one who cultivates your talents and your skills and your abilities. He gives you insight and capacity to do what you couldn't do before. Let's praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. 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 Quickly, the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit is, the Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And the words there are, be being filled. And there are moments in the Scripture when it's, for instance, Acts 4:8 says, then Peter, being filled with the Spirit, said to them, rulers and peoples and elders, there's moments where you need a fresh filling in the facing whatever you're facing. If there's a one time come upon, well, actually, there's multiple times the Holy Spirit come. How many of you need just stirring up? This is a biblical thing. When they had prayed, when they were being contested by the Pharisees and all that, it says, and they prayed, and the place where they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. There are times when the Holy Spirit comes and flows heavier on you for the nature of what you're going through to equip you. There's more of these. I won't get into those. But there's more and more of those all through the book of Acts. And lastly, Jesus' command to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. He commands us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49 in the Amplified, this is what Jesus said. Listen very carefully. I'm sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you. But you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you're clothed, fully equipped with the power from on high. Now, let's go to Luke 3:11-13. And this is how Jesus said it. Jesus said, if you, being evil, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And see, the Holy Spirit created all the languages of the earth. In fact, it talks about, in 1 Corinthians 13:1, it says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a sounding gong, or noisy gong, or clanging cymbal. The next verse, and they were all filled with this, back to Acts 1, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The reason I'm bringing this up is because in Genesis chapter 11, the Lord, seeing that they only have one language and they're rising up in their pride against God, confuses the languages and releases multiple languages, where the guy is turning there, they're working, you know, and they turn and they start to talk to one another and they can't understand each other. And all the people that speak that particular language end up getting together, and all the, and there's like multiple languages that flow out of the Tower of Babel. Isn't that an interesting name for that? So they all leave, and now this, that particular work where the Holy Spirit gave languages, which are the languages of the earth, and he's developed languages all over the earth, that was to separate people. For the first time the Holy Spirit released language was to separate, but the second time the Holy Spirit released language was to unify the people of God. And because he knows all the languages, this is an amazing thing. Let's go ahead and stand together just for a moment. Praise you, Lord. I want to ask, as we take this moment and lift our hearts to the Lord, I believe that the Lord wants to, even now, to touch and break the strategy of the adversary. Let's just lift our heads to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, for every person here who's already baptized in the Holy Spirit, who's been praying in the Spirit, I ask for a fresh work right now. Just go ahead and stir up your inner being. Begin praying in the Spirit. Just go ahead and pray in tongues. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, the same thing. Let's just pray. Pray. Those who are freshly already filled, just go ahead. It's a new time. It's a new time. Let's go ahead and receive a fresh filling. There's purpose, because the Lord wants to bring new definition to the days ahead. So go ahead and begin praying into your future. Now, as you're doing this, I'm going to instruct the others. I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit fills you, he prompts you with a word or two. For me, it was the words Adawa. He just throws out some words, and he wants you to say them. And then when you say them, he gives you more. It's kind of like he's a prompter. He says, because he's created every single language in the world. And the moment you say a funny thing that you've never said in your mind before, the devil comes immediately and says, you're making that up. Here's what you say. You say, devil, I'm not talking to you. Because the Bible says I'm talking to God. I just sense, lift your hands, put your hands in a cup, kind of a cup motion. Because the Holy Spirit just witnessed to me, he's coming to freshly fall on those who haven't received yet. Just go ahead and begin praising him, not in English. The Lord's giving you language right now. Just go ahead and receive it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Step out. Step out. Step out. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Move your lips. Do not stand there expecting the angel to grab your mouth. Go ahead and move your lips and open your mouth and begin talking. And when you talk, just like a baby with utterances like a baby, da da do 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 ba ba, whatever that comes out of your mouth, the Lord will turn it into language. It will begin to articulate as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. Oh, there's a joy coming in the room. Praise the Lord. The Lord is delighted over our lives. Go ahead and speak. Step out. Step out. Step out. Don't try to analyze the language. Don't try to say, what does this mean? Don't do that. Just go ahead and let it go. Just let it come out. Let it come out. Let it come out. There's a river inside of you, and Jesus says, I want to increase that river. I want to release that river. I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and praise him. Praise you, Jesus. You have to be moving your mouth. You can't be sitting there with your mouth closed and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have to move your lips. Go ahead and whisper these funny little utterances coming out of you. Praise you, Jesus. Let's go ahead. Praise. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's just pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is, he showed me in the room. He says, I've come in. I've released the promptings. I've released the promptings. You respond to him. Respond to Him right now. Respond to Him. Let the hunger of your heart begin to be filled. Let the hunger of your heart begin to be satisfied. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if there's someone, just right now, if you haven't quite received it yet, just come on down. If you desire this, come on down front right away. Come, we're going to lay hands on you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just come right now. Come right now. If you want a deeper assurance, a greater flow, praise the Lord. 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 Now, everybody that is already baptized in the Holy Spirit, stir up your language. Would you do that? Stir your language up. Stir up. Because let's begin. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and rests upon us. He comes and empowers us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't need more refilling or infilling or a greater anointing, you're released. Enjoy the beautiful day. Have cafe time. We thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. It's been a good morning. Amen. Amen. Come and be filled. Thank you, Jesus.